I believe there are two ways to approach our lives. One is looking at it as a series of norms we have to live into and objectives we have to achieve. This view is full of expectations, pressures, bias, and systemic dynamics that continuously need to be overcome. The other is to look at life as a series of choices we make and goals we set for ourselves, a life that is full of agency, growth, and opportunity. Welcome to Live Stoked and Lead Stoked, where we explore both life and work from that latter perspective. I'm your host, Sarah Bettman, coach, consultant, and speaker. More importantly, I'm a fellow traveler on the path towards living my own stoked life, and I'm passionate about helping others do the same. Let's jump into this exploration of life and work and what it means to live and lead stoked. Hello. It's been a long time, at least for you to hear just from me. We've been sharing a bunch of guest episodes as I've been going through some changes. I'm happy to report my husband and I have recently moved into our longer-term home to complete our transition from Michigan to California that started last August. So I think I underestimated the impact of not quite being in our space yet, but we are now in our space. It's been 2 weeks, and I am excited to be with you. You might actually hear the echo in the background as I'm in my new office, surrounded by boxes and empty walls, and in that stage of when we will put up the pictures or the shelves or whatever we're going to do to make this space fundamentally our home, which is what I want to talk about today. It seems a lot of my clients are going through changes, whether organizational changes through acquisition, divestiture, through reorg and changing how they do business. A lot of my clients are going through change, and it seems like everyone's going through change all the time, but something, there's more to it lately. So I wanted to talk about a body of work that's been important to me for probably over 10 years now, and William Bridges' Transitions and differentiating between change and transition. I don't know if this will be helpful for you, but it applies whether you're an individual, whether you're in an organization. And since part of living our most stoked lives, and frankly, leading stoked teams and organizations, depends on making changes that align with what would give you your most stoked lives. So I came to this body of work many years ago when I worked for a large health system in California, and they were reopening a new hospital. And in any change initiative, as much as organizations want the change to benefit the organization in a linear way, meaning there's a day the change starts, i.e. opening a new hospital, and then we're hit the ground running, everything's awesome, patients love it, it's great. Research has found the opposite happens. In healthcare, there's risk of negative health outcomes. In any organization, there's risk of turnover. And some turnover is always good. Not everyone's going to go with a change. But unmanaged, the turnover tends to be regrettable losses of people that you want to stay. It could impact your relationship if it's a more personal change. And I think if I could say anything, change is not linear. The impact, the benefits of change, no matter how good someone thinks it will be, it's not always linear. There's always a dip in productivity, however you define it, and it's important to manage. So many years ago, I brought a consultancy in to teach the concepts of William Bridges' Transitions, and that experience led me to join that consultancy later and do the consulting around the world around change and transition, inclusive culture, leadership development, advancing women. And I have to say, you know, the experience of being trained as a master trainer in William Bridges' Transitions was one of my most favorite credentialing processes. And I have air quotes up for credentialing because, unlike many other things that I've been certified in a train the trainer model, Susan Bridges, William Bridges, or Bill Bridges' widow, really was committed to maintaining the spirit of transitions. And I'll explain some of it here as we keep going. And so for me to get certified, and again, air quotes, to be able to train the trainer, so basically teach organizations, leaders, how to bring William Bridges' work into their organizations, I had to sit and have a conversation with Susan Bridges. I was very lucky. Her home was near mine, so I got to join her at her home, and we had a conversation. And she asked me a series of questions, asked what my understanding of transitions was, and she wanted to understand that I deeply understood the sentiment behind it and the spirit behind it, which is the difference between change, which is an event, and transition, which is what William Bridges calls the psychological reorientation to change. And I got blessed or certified or whatever word you want to call it. And it's been a meaningful body of work that I carry with me to this day. I share with my clients to this day. And frankly, as I'm going through my change, I'm feeling it. And so I thought I'd share it with you. So this is especially relevant as we're moving into our permanent house. And dare I say, this is a dream scenario. The house has all the things that we wish for. I'm looking out in the distance over houses and through some power lines. I see the ocean. And actually, right now, the tide is such that I can see waves crashing. We have all the things we were dreaming about in a house. And this is definitely part of our living our most stoked lives, having this space. We're close to hiking. We're close to the activities we love. Many of the resources we need are walkable. And yet, it's not easy. We left Michigan in August. We've stayed with my brother and sister-in-law since then, and grateful for them to have given us a chance to get our minds around what we wanted in what is a higher cost of living area, closer to family than what we were experiencing in Michigan. And before anyone goes spouting off about how awful California is, I happen to be a person. My husband and I, we were both born and raised here. Much of our family and friends are here. Our communities are here. And it's not as awful for us as some seem to believe. So don't necessarily want to debate the merits of California, but we choose to be here. We choose to be closer to family. And frankly, for us to choose to live our most of lives in a high cost of living and not sacrifice something as important as where we live, our relationships to the people most important to us in order to live stoked. And I think something we learned, and this is a total sidebar, is we both have a strong sense of place. And I know some of you out there have moved a lot and made wherever you moved home, you found community, and gotta love you. And I realize that's just not me. Being close to family, being close to home, friends, and everything like that is just really important to us. So we're living our most stoked lives right now, but it's not easy. And one of the things that Bill Bridges talks about is there's a change. So there's a day we got the keys and moved into this house, but then there's a period of time when it feels like home. And I will say we're in the middle of it, so it's not quite home. There's boxes everywhere, and we keep reorganizing because we set up based on what we think, and then we see another box, and then it's like, oh, crap, well, that's not going to work. We need a place for food, as an example, in our pantry. Many years ago, I was teaching this, and one of my clients in one of the classes talked about how she moved into a home, and for her husband, he was at home in the space of their new house when he had the garage set up. He had his shop set up. That was his important space to go to where he wanted to be at home. For her, she said it was much later, and it was when the kids came home for the holidays and they lived out their traditions. She saw all her decorations out, and there was a moment where she was looking around that the kids were playing games, the kids being, you know, 20 and 30 year olds with their significant others. Her husband was doing whatever he usually does over the holidays, and the light was such that she realized she was at home. So for some, it might be, you know, short. For others, it might be long. And this is really important to understand if you're in an organization going through organizational change. Some of you may be on board right away. The change makes perfect sense. You know how to contribute in this new environment. Yahoo, let's go, let's get this thing done. And there are others who are really feeling challenged in many different ways. Bill Bridges talks that there are three stages of transitions, and this is not linear. You don't go through one stage and then lock the door. You can go back and forth. So I'll tell you about those transitions, high-level overview, and then I'll talk about kind of how it manifests in some of the clients and teams I've worked with, and frankly, for me. So the first is letting go. And letting go is the first stage. The change has happened, you've moved, and it's time to let go. I love telling the story of, imagine a 2 or 3 year old going to grandma's house. They're so excited. They love grandma's house. They can't wait to go. it is time to go. You're walking out the door with them over your shoulder and going to the car, and they realize it means they leave their favorite toy at home. And all of a sudden, they hate grandma. They don't want to go. They're screaming. And I love this metaphor because I think this happens in organizations all the time. Everyone's excited about a change. And then when it actually happens, everyone just goes crazy and starts bitching about it and complaining. And it was like, wait a minute, you were on board 2 weeks ago. And what I love about this is Bill Bridges says, this is normal. It's okay. There's no shame in it. There's no lack of integrity. No one's up to anything weird. It's just the reality is the reality of the change became internalized in such a way that a person felt what they were letting go of. And this could be everything from if you move or change offices, your morning routines. If you stop for coffee every morning, you might not be able to go to the same route to work. So you have to think a little bit harder. What's my new route to work? This could be as a team. If you have a new leader, you used to start meetings one way, but the leader is so different that you start meetings a different way. And you really miss how the other meeting started and the other leader led the meeting, and can make the mistake that then this new leader is worse or better because of how they start the meeting, when in fact, you're just missing something that you have a muscle memory and a comfort with. So letting go is the first phase. And it really is about helping you learn to, well, first recognize the things you're missing, letting go, discerning which ones are really important. Sometimes organizational change, people fear what's going to happen with their retirement. So for people that are in, you know, the last 5 years of their career, a big organizational change can really challenge their sunsetting of their career and how they thought they would impact and grow. If you had to move to a new neighborhood, you might have to let go of ideas of how you're going to live and grow in the house because that's no longer the same. So that's what letting go is. And then there's the neutral zone. And again, this isn't necessarily linear, but the neutral zone is where the old doesn't work and the new doesn't fit yet. And I like it as kind of this free fall space before we used to talk about it, and he talked about it in his trainings around a trapeze, that when you let go of the trapeze and you're in free fall and then you grab the trapeze, there's that space and time where time has stopped. And in this place, things are confusing. They're different. I like to say if nothing works, then everything works. It's a great time for opportunity, but it can be really hard. So I see this with companies that have been acquired. Of course, they're feeling that they're letting go when they've been acquired by a larger company. But then there's this feeling, what do I do now? And I find myself saying, well, they acquired you because you're great at what you do. Keep going. But that feels hard for people where they once had, you know, a strategic mindset that could think out a quarter, a month, a year, whatever it is. They now are afraid to take action in the day or week. They don't know what to do. They're waiting to be told what to do. And it can be really frustrating for a leader who had a team that was action-oriented, perhaps autonomous, doing what they needed to do. But then all of a sudden, now they're asking, what do I do now? What do I do now? And I think the tension of this, and I certainly feel it for me, I feel like I don't know what I want to do. I don't know where their things are. I don't know my morning routine. And a little bit of this environment is there's so much opportunity for things I could be doing that I almost get so overwhelmed, I don't want to do anything. So in this neutral zone is first going to the simple basics. So my morning routine is a simple basic, and that's good enough. I will admit my husband and I just got into Ted Lasso. I get it. We're late. And we are probably sitting on the couch watching this show earlier, considering that we live in a beautiful space. But we're in that neutral zone where the amount of energy we expend just getting through our house day to day, unpacking boxes, trying to navigate the things we need to change, moving in state, all of this, that's okay. That's good enough. We're going to do what we need to do. The final phase is new beginnings. And this is through transition. And what new beginnings is a moment where I like to say you use less discretionary energy to make the change. And when we used to teach this, the slide had a little sprout. And think of a little cup that you planted a seed when you were a kid or your kids are doing now, and that little sprout forms and you watch it. And that new beginning, I love that vision of the new sprout because it's very tenuous. It can easily be stepped on. And so a leader leading through change, as people start to get it, and what this means is they're starting to understand what the new beginning, they're starting to live the other side of the new beginning, and they're able to expend more energy planning. They can see further along. It's a bit more relaxed. I remember having a executive tell me he knew they were a new beginning, at least the majority of the team, because they started laughing again. And you can imagine it, just all of a sudden, everyone's taking a collective breath out, like, we made it through. And you're leveraging the creativity that maybe was born out of the neutral zone, the innovation. You're starting to find your stride. And the discretionary energy that you put towards getting through day to day is much less. You're able to have patterns and routines and processes you can count on. For my husband and I, we're very much still in the neutral zone. The letting go was fairly short phase, but right now we've got lots of boxes and trying to figure out our processes and routines. And so that's where we are now. I think as you're going through changes and organizations, exploring some of William Bridges' work, he has two books. One is Managing Transitions, which is a bit of a corporate book, and it's got some great steps and ideas about how to manage change. But then he also has a book called The Way of Transition. And it is, in my mind, a beautiful book because it talks more about the story and the spirit that his widow, second wife, is maintaining the spirit of. And I'll leave you with one story from that. And this is my memory of it. And so I apologize to those of you who know this story more intimately than I. But I want to illustrate kind of the idea of the way of transition as Bill Bridges talked about it. And his first wife had cancer, and she went through these transitions right after her diagnosis. So the new letting go of what it meant to be a woman without cancer, neutral zone, you know, the old routines of a woman without cancer versus a woman with cancer, and then into the new beginnings of just having their routine, going to the chemo and the treatments and such. And then she went into remission, and she went through this again, and it was letting go of the routines and structures and the things she knew as a woman with cancer to now in this neutral zone of what does it mean to be a woman in remission, and then ultimately finding her stride in a new beginning of who she was as a woman in remission from breast cancer. And then the final story he tells is when she was diagnosed with metastasized breast cancer, it had come back, and again, going back through letting go of what it was to be a woman without cancer, in this case, remission, into this neutral zone and deciding who she was as a woman who is dying, and then into the new beginning of, you know, what is her reality as a dying woman? And as a therapist, and I apologize, I don't remember the modality and body of work, but it was very deep and philosophical and spiritual, and how she got to that place of the new beginning of a woman who is now dying. The way he tells the story and the way I remember is just so beautiful that the transitions happen throughout our life. And I joke, it goes everything from a update on our phone to then, you know, navigating some of the hardest things in our life, like illness up to and including death. And fortunately for Matt and I, we're moving towards relocating back in California, so it's not nearly as dramatic. And at the same time, it's real. So if anyone's out there going through changes and transitions, again, I mentioned the books. Know that if it feels off and weird and you feel like you should be living the change, loving your house, loving the new role or transition, it's totally normal. And if you're a leader, I beg of you to really start thinking and exploring this body of work a bit more in the sense of helping to navigate and shepherd your employees through change, because they're not all reacting the same way. And when we all understand this, I know for me, when I learned this body of work, it gave me so much permission to go through the hard things and know that the only way you get to that new beginning and then ultimately outside of the transition and change is by going through and navigating the spaces and taking the small steps to help navigate each phase. So that's what I got for you today. I hope you've enjoyed the guests. I'm planning to come back with some new AMA Ask Me Anything podcast. I've had some really interesting questions that I'm going to start doing as themes, having more guests. If you're enjoying this podcast, please rate it. Give us 5 stars or whatever you feel on wherever you listen to podcasts. Share it with anyone. Our podcast group is growing, which is terribly exciting. And if you have any thoughts, questions, or want to reach out, please, all the information how to find me is in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. The other thing that actually I should add is we've added a book list. So every speaker, we add in the show notes the books that they have read. Now you can go and link on to the reading list, and you can see all the books that people have recommended from all the podcasts. You'll also be able to see what I'm reading in 2024 with my goal of 24 books, and then what I read in 2023, and then my all-time favorite leadership books, and a few others. So anyway, lots of resources in the show notes if you want them. And until next time, I hope you have a great day and live stoked and lead stoked. Bye. Thanks so much for joining us for Live Stoked, Lead Stoked. We know you're busy, so it means the world to me that you'd spend this time with us. If you're interested in digging deeper on the topics discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for resources and links related to this episode. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you found this to be time well spent. Your support helps us immensely. Plus, consider leaving a review. They're like virtual high fives, and I appreciate every one of them. Finally, stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot us a message or a question. Your stories and experiences enrich the community we're building here, and you never know, your question may end up on a monthly Ask Me Anything. So until next time, keep subscribing, keep reviewing, and keep living your most stoked life. We'll be back with more inspiration, stories, and insights. See you then.